First, this book is dedicated to my son, Sonny, and my daughter, Natalia. And Sonny and Natalia, if you're listening to Daddy's voice right now, turn off your iPod. This is as much as you get to hear, because this book is filthy, and you'd never look at me the same, nor would you ever listen to a word I ever said again. Introduction. This is a book of stories, my stories. They range from the pathetic to the maddening to the disgusting to the absurd, but there's something I want to make clear right from the top. All the stories are true. There's not an ounce of exaggeration or fabrication of any of the details. In fact, it's probably worse than I even remember, but my psyche has dimmed it down for my own protection. Let's start off by talking about houses. As a kid, the places I called home were cracked stucco, dirt lawns, and furniture raccoons wouldn't fuck on. But there's another way of looking at homes. They're where you create memories with your family, good and bad, and the pad you launch from when you start your own life. If you want to know where someone is at physically, mentally, financially, spiritually, whatever, look at where they're living. So, I decided to start each chapter by telling you a little bit about the different abodes I've called home. This book will be a journey from the plethora of dumps I was raised in, through the shithole apartments I rented in my 20s, to the homes I purchased and personally renovated when I found some success. Chapter 1, A Cracked Foundation, Mom's House. North Hollywood, California. Year bought, 1951. Purchase price, $10,000. I have a blender that costs that much now. 875 square feet, 2 bedrooms, 1 bath, zero hope. This is the first house I grew up in. Technically, there were a couple of stops in Philly and New Jersey before this, but I was a baby and a couple of months in a rental house in Chatsworth as a toddler doesn't really count. This is the house I consider to be my childhood home. The roof was falling off, the porch was falling apart, and at some point, my grandfather decided to rebuild the porch. But in the penny-wise, pound-foolish Corolla tradition, he bought used lumber that had been salvaged from a pier fire. I know, you can't make this shit up, folks. The boards were warped and charred and filled with barnacles and termites. And that porch lived in front of that house for almost 15 years. It was humiliating living in this place. It was called the barn by my neighborhood friends. Actually, mostly Ray. We'll get into him later. Oh boy, will we. I don't know if we're going to be friends after this. He told me a few months ago he wanted to talk to me about the chapter that was dedicated to him. And I said, yeah, buddy, call me over the weekend. And then, because he's Ray, he didn't write it down and he forgot. Anyway, let's just put it this way. His political career will be over at the end of this book. Done. Now, where was I? That, by the way, was a digression, and there's going to be a lot of those, especially if you heard the first audiobook. But let me get back to the house. It had 1 bathroom, no dishwasher, no air conditioning, 1 washing machine, but no dryer, yet it had 2 front doors. 2 front doors, right next to each other at 90 degrees. I never thought it was strange until I dug up some old pictures years later. There's symbolism in it. It made no sense, it didn't conform to any standards, yet it was accepted as if it was completely normal and did not need to be fixed. Just like my family. But enough about the house. Let's talk about the poor, pathetic saps that lived under that roof. My mom was a full-blown hippie. Everyone thinks being a hippie is all free love and tambourines, but my mom was the paranoid bummer version of hippie. There was constant hand-wringing and worrying about the atomic bomb, the ozone layer, the pollutions, streams filled with dead fish, oppressing indigenous people. Her message was basically, good luck enjoying your childhood. While other people starve, the planet goes to shit, and eventually we nuke each other. Oh, and it's our fault because we're evil, greedy, white people. Hanging out with a depressed hippie is the definition of lose-lose. It'd be like if a rice cake had the caloric content of a moon pie. And my mom swung with some world-class long hairs. She had a friend named Happy, one named Sunshine, another named Axis, and one named Zorback. His name was probably Gerald, but he went by Zorback as a fuck you to the man. Take that, Nick